Welcome back to the Man Catholic Podcast. I'm Steve Priest.
I'm Thomas Wirtz.
And I'm Brock Martin.
Today we're talking about conquering castles.
This time.
All right, guys, this is a super fun topic, conquering castles, specifically as men, as brothers, how we are called to share our blood, share our sweat, and share our tears even in our day-to-day activities and even great moments of life.
Yeah, when I was in college, I was on the rugby team, and I was at a tournament, and I saw this guy. Or no, the tournament actually was selling shirts, rugby shirts, but on one part of the shirt was a quote from William Shakespeare, who, of course, you'd quote for rugby tournaments, right? But it came from his play, Henry V. And it's in the battle. There's a speech during a battle. And the line that was on the rugby shirt is this: "He who sheds his blood with me this day shall be my brother." Hmm. And that always resonated with me. I would use it in our training with our men when we go out and play soccer, right? Just this concept that when we are active together pursuing something that's a worthy pursuit.
Yep.
It bonds us. It draws us together. Why is that? I think that's kind of where I wanted to get to.
Yeah. So I didn't know you played rugby. I knew you played college football. I played college rugby for Colorado State University. And same thing, that on the field, and there's something unique about rugby. If I can just go into the sport and give it a little praise, because I think it's underrated, and I think mostly because it's misunderstood. It differs so much from other sports because there is no real opportunity to self-glorify yourself in rugby. It is completely about a team dynamic, and at any moment you have to rely on your teammates to come get your back in rugby, and you have to be the one to enter into battle for your teammate. Because when you get tackled with the ball in rugby, your team can only keep the ball if you blow over what's called the ruck and maintain possession of the ball. But if your teammates don't come in and maintain possession of the ball by blowing through that ruck, the other team can come over and take the ball from you. So there's complete reliance on it. And I absolutely love the sport for that reason. There were guys on my team that I didn't necessarily agree with and get along with all the time. But when we got onto the field, I completely relied on them and they relied on me. And we were brothers in that moment.
No, it's funny we're bringing up rugby. I don't know if it was you, Thomas, or if it was your older brother. I remember one of you guys had a bumper sticker on your car that said, "Give blood, play rugby." And it's just funny that I had that. But also, I love that we're talking about sports, because I think this concept of conquering castles and bleeding and sweating and shedding tears with your brothers can seem a little daunting, right? But I think that sports is a great kind of shallow entry point for us to see this, that when you do get in the trenches with a brother, when you are sacrificing, when you're tired and you're really having to dig deep, there is a bond that us men are capable of forming that our sisters just don't understand, right? Like my wife and my mom, my sisters used to talk about how funny it is when guys actually have this experience.
They get
the
tears part.
Yes, that's true. They get the tears part. But no, the reality is that when we do get down to it with a brother or a group of brothers, the type of bond that forms is actually something that could sometimes last a lifetime.
Yeah. Well, in the Gospel of John, John 15:13, it says, "Greater has no love than this, than to lay down his life for his friend." And that's what you're getting at, Brock, that, you know, we could, and I think sports is a good analogy, but it falls short, right? Because you're active, even in rugby, you're bleeding with one another, for crying out loud, but you're not giving of your life for them. And what I love about that scripture verse is, at the end of the day, are we willing to go there? Are we willing to lay down our life for our brother?
And I think that speaks to the competitive spirit of a man, which is why I think it's so important for us to bleed together, to sweat together, and in some way cry together, usually because of the blood. But it's you know, back in the Old Testament, if you were trying to overthrow a king, you slept with his harem. And I do you remember the passage? I should have looked it up. Sorry, guys. But where in public someone is sleeping with the king's harem in the Old Testament, I don't know if it's one of Solomon's, I think, offspring down the line. It's this play. It's this competitive spirit, which I think goes back to Genesis 2:15 and this idea of shamaring, of guarding and protecting. We're meant to eventually, to the passage from John, lay our life down. But we do that by practicing in sport or in other things where we bleed together. And that draws us together because we're able to look at our brother and admire him and to say, what you're doing, living your masculine genius, if you will, is inspiring me, and it draws me to, it reminds me of who I am. And I'm going to read from a little, what is it, a stanza, a paragraph from a French Knight of Passage. His name is Jean de Bruel. I don't know how to say that in French, but it's called The Battle. Battle is a joyous thing. And again, I'm not glorifying fighting like in that sense, but this concept of bleeding, sweating, and crying together. He says, we love each other so much in battle. If we see that our cause is just and our kingsmen fight boldly, tears come to our eyes. A sweet joy rises in our hearts in the feeling of our honest loyalty to each other and seeing our friend so bravely exposing his body to danger in order to fulfill the commandment of our Creator. We resolve to go forward and die or live with him on account of love. This brings such delight that anyone who has not felt it cannot see how wonderful it is. Do you think someone who feels this is afraid of death? Not in the least. He's so strengthened, so delighted, that he does not know where he is. Truly, he fears nothing in the world. Ends that quote. Going back to, he who lays his life down for me
sheds blood.
Yes,
I mixed the two. Going back to, no greater love is this than a man who lays down his life. Yeah. And the quote from Henry V, he who sheds his blood with me this day shall be my brother.
So we call this conquering castles. And I said this in an earlier podcast that men used to just go conquer castles together. And in doing this would create this bond that we're talking about here today. And we wanted to do an entire podcast episode about it because so often now, what do a lot of men resort to? You know, let's go play video games for hours and hours and hours and virtually conquer castles. But you're actually not. You are not creating a bond. You're just kind of killing time being in the presence of someone else. There is so much here that we can grow in and gain from actually getting out and conquering castles today. But What does this look like, Brock? What do you think this looks like for us as men today?
No, totally. And I think the podcast that you are referencing, it might be titled Being a Brother to a Brother.
Yes, that was one of the better ones.
Yeah, give it a shout out. Yeah. It was actually before I joined the Cool Kids Club.
Is that why it was so good?
I don't know. It's really highly rated. But I think this point. Yeah. I'm reminded, to answer your question, Steve, I'm reminded of a men's night that I got invited to participate in. This was at Benedictine College, now that I'm remembering it. The monks at Benedictine College and some of the missionaries there led a group of about 40 of us out into the woods. There's this area behind Benedictine College called Abbey Land, and it's just the woods. And we tied ropes to each other, so we had to walk foot in foot. Like, my left foot had to move when the guy in front of me's left foot did. Sure. And if you didn't, it would really chafe your ankle. And this was a little bit of a hike. Like, we were about a mile into the woods, and we carried these railroad ties. And then when we got there, the missionary split up the railroad ties, and then they gave us all Sharpies, and we were to write down like a handful of things that we were trying to get rid of our lives, sins that we were struggling with. And then guys would take this massive axe and smash the wood as hard as they could into a bunch of pieces, and then we threw it all into a big bonfire. And it was just this night of, all of us were kind of in pain, but you had guys getting up there like, their ankles are bleeding. We're kind of tired. It's late at night. And they're just yelling like, masturbation! And like smashing this wood. And guys like, drunkenness! It's smashing the wood. And but there was such a bond that was formed with the group of guys that went out there that night. And I think what was so unique about it, to your point, Steve, is that I'd never experienced anything like that before. Mm-hmm. Like, the extent of this concept, the closest I'd ever gotten to that was in high school football, where guys are literally like, the captains on the team, we're committing to running until we're puking because we're trying to pursue a championship. And that was close. Mm-hmm. But I think to get into the nitty gritty, to actually start to suffer and to bleed for a higher cause that's in some sense tied to our souls. It's religious.
In the pursuit of holiness. Right. Exactly. And I think that's the differentiating motive of all of this, is you can go out and you can be active and you can chop wood and you can yell and you can, you know, light things on fire and do that for its own sake, or you can do that with a greater purpose, which is leading us to holiness and to sanctification through the art of brotherhood.
Yeah, and that's why we don't just go cut ourselves and say we're bleeding together.
Yeah.
It's, and I think that goes back to that with our, the battle is a joyous thing from the French Knight, the thing that I read. It's when I see one of my brothers doing something unbelievable, like really giving of himself in some activity where he's bleeding, where he's sweating, that's inspiring to me because I'm seeing him flourishing as a man, right? Mm-hmm. Doing all that he can for some good. And that's why we love stories of heroes. We loved Maverick. We love Gladiator, all these where men are just doing amazing things. The stories of the martyrs are my favorite because they're the most extreme. St. John de Brébeuf, talked about him in a different podcast, the Jesuit, French Jesuit, one of the North American martyrs, just the way that he lived, the way that he died. It's like, man, he lived the fullness of what it is to be a man. That inspires me. And I think when we go out and we do something Again, don't just, yeah, if you just need to go chop wood because you don't have anything else to do, that's better than sitting around watching ESPN all day with him, mm-hmm. with a buddy. Like, go do something, sure. But if you're doing it for your neighbor that actually needs the wood to heat his house in the wintertime, like, that's what I'm talking about. And then you start bleeding and sweating for something yep. of great value, and you inspire one another in this fraternal pursuit.
Yep. Dude, you mentioned Maverick.
I did.
So good.
Have you seen it?
Oh, a few times. And so I'm going to throw it right now. I'm going to beg you guys that we do Conquering Castles Part 2, What Makes Maverick So Good. And I think there is a story of conversion, of conquest. This movie did not include any nudity, any drunkenness, no drugs,
I was hoping to see
one F word. And everyone loved it, men and women alike.
Amazing.
And there is so much good in this film. We're going to talk about Conquering Castles Part 2. What makes Maverick so good?
So let's get practical.
Yeah, so I've got a few. I was going to go there too. Okay. Thanks, Brock. So we talked about sports already. Now, one thing that came to my mind, what do you do when you reach the top of a mountain after a pretty arduous hike with a group? You get up there and everyone's awed by the view, but then you start giving high fives and you're hugging because you just went through this tough moment, this difficult moment together. You were united in it. Whether your feet were tied together or not, but you had to fight through this mm-hmm. discomfort, mm-hmm. thirst, hunger, coldness, heat, whatever it is, and you get to the top and you just look at each other and you think, we did this. Mm-hmm. We did it. So I look at that. If you know a couple guys and you're just thinking, gosh, where do I start? Go on a hike. I guess unless you live in Kansas. What do you do in Kansas for hikes?
Pilgrimage. We just
talked about that a couple. Okay, yeah, walk somewhere.
One of the things that comes to my mind, just thinking through that, Steve, are opportunities, particularly for fasting or asceticism. Like we've talked about Exodus 90 is a great thing in the past, but even right now, there's a group that I'm in with a couple of my brothers and some friends that we're holding each other accountable just to some simple fasting. And it's actually kind of fun. I mean, it sucks when you're in it and you're hungry and you're uncomfortable, but there is a camaraderie of being able to text the guys and being like, yo, I really, really looking for some bacon right now. Would love to eat some meat today.
So what are some of these fasts that you guys are doing?
So one of the fasts that we're doing bacon? Is we treat every Friday like Good Friday. Yeah. So no meat, and it's two small meals in one meal that is not supposed to equal the two other added up to each other. And it's ridiculously hard. We've only been doing it a little while, but the fact of the matter is on Fridays when lunchtime rolls around and I haven't really had anything to eat yet, if I were doing this by myself, it would not be as fun. There wouldn't be any camaraderie and I probably wouldn't have the success that we've had.
Yeah.
But there's actually a bond that is created when I'm able to say, hey, I'm struggling, this stinks. And then my brother can say, hey, me too. Let's hop on the phone. Let's talk about that. Let's laugh a little bit. And then let's all get on the phone at midnight and make some bacon or like, you know, let's have some meat and celebrate. And to your point, Steve, kind of have that high five at the end of the journey, finding little ways to practice fasting or asceticism in groups where you can be brutally honest. Hey, I didn't get this done today. Or, you know, I slipped up and ate meat for breakfast, like whatever it is to be able to have that brotherhood in the trenches. That's what we're getting at.
Yeah. Love that one. So another one I wrote down is build something together. When I was in high school, my dad, successful engineer, could have paid someone to come finish our basement when I was in high school. And instead, he convinced me to help him finish it. And we framed out the entire basement with a hammer and nails. And we installed all the framing, did all the electrical, and we spent hours together, which was genius on his part. You know, I just thought it was kind of fun to build stuff. And all I could think about was my room was going to be down there and we're going to have a pool table. So all this was worth it. But in the end, I got hours of time with my dad. So at the end of the day, when the basement was finished, we got to rack up a game of pool. We got to play pool and just celebrate our accomplishment. And when my basement needed to be finishing, I did the same thing. I called my dad over and I said, hey, will you help do this? And then I called a couple of different buddies over and I had different friends at different stages come over and I'd get to teach them how to frame and how to do electrical. And then we just get time together. And at the end of the day, what do they want to do? They want to come over and celebrate the accomplishment. Now, whether it's finishing a basement, building a doghouse, working on a deck, whatever it is, go build something together and get time and use your hands and create something cool.
Yeah, we had a a bar downstairs. Our house is, you know, the 60s, right? And so the bar, I don't know if it was original or put into the 70s, but so we tore it out, and my two boys, I have three, but our little guy was in bed. So it was my 7-year-old and 4-year-old. And they, for some reason, just came down. They were up late, and they just loved demolishing the bar.
You sent Brock and I a picture of that, actually.
That's right. Yep. So it was that idea of we were pursuing something good. We weren't destroying something for the sake of destroying it. We were fixing our home, and they also love to do that because they're little boys. But there was a time I got a bunch of firewood. You came over, Jake came over, and we had pancakes for our kids and stuff. And then you guys helped me. A couple other guys came over. Sorry, guys, but came over and helped me chop the wood.
Yeah.
Ben was there. And we ended up cutting down a tree that I didn't want.
Taking down a tree, yeah.
We almost got hurt, I think. I know I tumbled backwards pulling it. I think, did you fall out of the tree, or there's something where...
It wouldn't be the...
I don't know. But anyways, just doing stuff where we're helping each other out, I think, is also a practical point. Yep. Just, you know, there was we were putting in posts around our garden. My wife's like, why don't you call some guys over? And I was like, no, I can do it myself. But that would have been a neat opportunity to actually have some blood, sweat, and tears with guys. So I think
that's a good practical, is if you've got a friend who asks you to move or to come build something like you were talking about. A friend of mine just asked to build a swing set. And you know, the first thought that goes through your mind is like, seriously, that's not how I want to spend a Saturday. I want to go help you move. But I think to get out of ourselves and say, no, this is an opportunity for me to go do something, to sweat, to help, to engage. And to your point, Steve, I think we can, at the end of that, really be proud of what we've done and to experience that brotherhood.
Yeah. So I've got another one. Go camping with a group of guys and get a tent, sleep on the ground, build a fire, get out there, chop wood, and go camping together. Sit around the fire. Again, get rid of the screens, get rid of the cell phones, sit around the campfire, get vulnerable, share life. How's it going? How's it really going? Let's get real. Let's do something together in this moment. I think that's one.
Mm-hmm. That's a great one.
Yeah, one other practical that comes to mind is, especially for those guys that are in college, or if you're not in college and you're in your parish, I think this concept of sweating and bleeding and shedding tears with brothers, a real practical way to engage that is to get plugged into a small group.
Yep.
You know, so many awesome conversations happen in small groups. And I think it gets men out of our weird, isolated, like, I like to keep my problems to myself. I like to kind of present to the world that I can handle it all. I've got it all under control. And to actually experience, when you hear a brother, you know, sharing, hey, this is what I'm struggling with, it gives you the freedom to say, actually, I'm struggling in that way too, or I'm also struggling in a different way. And so, yeah, whether you're in college, whether you're out of college, find a small group. I think that's an amazing way to engage this concept of bleeding with your brothers.
Yeah, and I kind of hinted at it with my story with the bar and my two boys, but if you're doing something and you got sons, like, let them participate, even if it takes 15 minutes longer, 20 minutes longer, try to include them in that, you know, at any age that they are, because this goes with father-son relationships too, I think. And Steve, you and your dad, you mentioned that story. But I think that's a great idea. Even if it's just as simple as throwing darts, instead of just sitting watching the TV at the bar, like, do something, like, be more active, because you're actually providing an opportunity for conversation more than if you're just sitting watching the football game. If you're moving around, because men, we need that. Again, it goes to that competitive spirit. It goes just, we're meant to be laying our lives down, doing physical things.
Yep.
So just consider that. Shoot pool instead of sitting at the bar or whatever it is.
And watch. No, that's a great one. My last one, and I don't know if you guys have any more, is do some kind of service work together as men. Go feed the poor. Work a day for Habitat for Humanity. I don't know exactly how Habitat for Humanity works, but I think you can just sign up for a day. I don't think you have to sign up for like the whole house. But go do service work of some kind together.
That's a great one. That's a great one. Yeah, here in Denver, a great apostolate, Christ in the City, they hand out sandwiches in the park once a month. And to be able to go just in getting out of yourself again, and you're doing it with other people. Connected to that, and this will be my last one, is this is a great opportunity to engage in the work of evangelization, to find a brother and to say, hey, or maybe it's a group of guys, and hey, let's go to the chapel, let's ask the Lord to create some divine appointments, and then let's go knock on four doors, and we're just going to say, hey, we're from this parish, we are only walking around today to say, you know, what do people in this neighborhood need prayers for? Is there anything we can pray for you for today? And see where that conversation leads. You might get the door slammed in your face. It might lead to an unbelievable conversation that leads to somebody's reversion back into the church. And so, yeah, do that with your small group, do that with a group of guys, or just with one other brother. That's an awesome way that you can kind of have, you know, they talk about a white martyrdom. That's like shedding white tears if you get rejected for the sake of the gospel. And I think that's an awesome opportunity.
Cool. Fun topic. Can't wait for Conquering Castles Part 2, What Makes Maverick So Good. I think I'm coining that the title right now.
Probably need to watch the movie first.
I'm sorry, guys. That was so embarrassing for Brock just now. I'm embarrassed. That's it for today, guys. We will catch you next time on the Man Catholic Podcast. God bless.